Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible said, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor. And therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And then David inquired of the Lord yet again. You ever been there? And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring me hither the ephod. And then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant, I had certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servants hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, the Lord said, that he will come down. And then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. And then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul saw him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. I'll let you be seated tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings tonight. Lord, you've just been very kind to us. And we ask you now for just a little while that you'd help us preach. And Lord, let our thought be clear. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do the work tonight that I cannot do. I'm going to do my best. But Lord, even at my best, it's altogether vanity. But Lord, if you'll touch it tonight, I know that it'll go accomplish what it needs to do. If phase one lost, save them. If phase one that has a need, meet that need. If somebody needs direction, I pray that direction will be met tonight. And now would you please come by and meet with us and help those that need help. And we'll certainly give you the glory for all this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. This is a time when David is really got his start, I guess you would say, of being on the run from King Saul. He's not been on the run that long, and he's had some men and that come to him, and he has kind of, I guess you'd say, become the leader and that over these men. He's got about 600 men under him, and he finds out that the Philistines are over against Keilah, a city there in Judah, that they are robbing them and they have took them over. Now, a couple of things that I want you to see right here is, first of all, is we know that God has chose David to be king. And we know that Saul is chasing David for no other reason than to kill him so that Saul could remain king and Saul's sons and that might be king. But I want you to look at what Saul said right here when it talked about them being in Keilah. Notice what he said in verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God had delivered him into mine hand. And Saul was wrong. Notice that he attributed unto that he thought that he was going to get David and he was going to attribute it unto God. But God had nothing to do with what King Saul was wanting to try. As a matter of fact, it was God that delivered David and that out of the hand of King Saul. Do you realize tonight that King Saul could have remained king and that over all of Israel, all the days of his life, if he would have just obeyed God? Do you know that obedience would just, what was it? He said to obey is better than sacrifice. Remember when he brought all the lambs back and the oxen and all those things, the bleeding of the sheep that Samuel talked about. When he said, I brought all these back, the people did, that we might sacrifice unto thy God. And that's when Samuel told him to obey is better than sacrifice. I'd rather have you obeying God than have you bringing all these back and that in sacrifice. If you notice also in this passage of Scripture, it was David that come down and delivered Keilah and that from the hand of the Philistines. But yet when David inquired of God about them delivering him and his men to King Saul, God said they'll do it. I thought that's kind of sorry of the men of Keilah down there that they would deliver the one that delivered them and that to be killed. Kind of like the Lord Jesus Christ, ain't it? He came in that to deliver Israel and to deliver the whole world. The Bible said in John 1:11 that he came into his own and his own received him not. He came in that to die for sinners. He came in that to deliver Israel. And yet they rejected him and killed him and had a Roman government crucify him at Calvary. Now because of that tonight, friend, we find it mean you can get saved. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. And you ask God to help you, preacher, tonight. But I want you to look at some things right here that David done and God done for David. Notice right here that he inquires of the Lord and God gives him an answer. Notice that when his men were afraid that they said, we're afraid here in Judah. Imagine how much more afraid we're going to be when we get down to the Philistines down there in Keilah. He inquired of God again. How many of us has ever been there before? We go inquire of the Lord and Lord gives us an answer. And we say, now Lord, are you really sure that's what you'd like for us to do? And so we inquire again. And now the Lord, kind of like Gideon. I thought of Gideon as I studied this. If you remember, he not only did God try him in that tearing down his father's altar to Baal, but when he told him to go find and told him to pick out his army, Gideon set out the fleece. And he said, Lord, don't be angry with me. But when he got his answer, he said, I'm going to put it out again just to make sure. And I think most of us has been there before. That we just want to make sure. And even when Abiathar got down there with the ephod, David begins to inquire of God again and that to see what is going to happen. If I could preach tonight for just a little while, looking at this and thinking about this, God put some ways and some things and some signs in David's life right here for him to see. Can I say tonight that God puts some signs in front of us tonight for us to see? Road signs, if I could say that tonight. You know, our Christian life is compared to as a lot of times it's compared to as a race. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 12, talks about how that we are to run the race with patience. We know that our Christian life is not only compared to a race, but it is a battle, but it is also a journey. You read Hebrews chapter 11 in the roll call of faith that they were journeying and looking, sojourning, and that looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what we're doing tonight is journeying. We're pilgrims tonight. Would you say that we're to be traveling the whole time while we're here? We're just pilgrims. A pilgrim really never has a home. A pilgrim never sets down roots. A sojourner is one that is just passing through. And so as we're following God and we're going the direction that He would have us to go, a lot of times He sets up road signs along the path as we go. I'll guarantee you, a lot of us passed road signs tonight and didn't give them one thought while we were coming here tonight. Think about it for just a second. You know why? Because we knew the way here. I did not have to look at a road sign to tell me to turn or I had to go. The only thing I looked at was them red lights on my way here. And I knew what the speed limit was, so I didn't have to worry about that tonight. Can I tell you tonight that real quick that God has given us a map and given us a book full of road signs. And that with the help of the Holy Spirit tonight, we know what to do and where to go. As I thought about this message, I thought that the road signs that we see out here on the highway, there's really two kinds tonight. There is one that is informative, and then there's one that is instructive. And what I mean by that tonight, when I talk about being informative, is it just tells us which way to go and what to do as we go. What do you mean? Well, talking about the informative road sign tonight, there was a road sign I know that I passed that right out here said Highway 30. Told me that I was on Highway 30. And as I turned up here to come on this county road up through here, it told me that I was on County Road 750. Me and my wife, we live on Highway 305. And a lot of times they'll tell us that whether they're going north, south, east, or west. And by the way, if you ever look on a map and see some of them, it'll be like Highway 68 north, and that sucker's running west. I don't understand that tonight at all. I don't know how you can be running west, but the map says it's running north tonight. But along in our Christian life, let me say number one, that there are informative road signs there, and they're put up for our direction and also for our protection tonight. You need to know which way you're going. You need to know what you're doing. I'm talking about in serving the Lord tonight. See, it's easy for us around here in Athens and Sweetwater and Etowah and Inglewood and going places that we know. We know how to serve God when we've been doing it as long as we've been doing it. But what happens when God wants you to do something different? You understand what I'm saying tonight? Are you catching on with me? We know what it's like to come to church. We know what it's like to come in here and sing songs in the choir. We know what it's like, friend and that, to read our Bible every day. We know what it's like to pray. But what about when God wants you to do something different? He's got us on a path and on a road, and we need to know which way we're going and be paying attention to those road signs. Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to know which way you're going tonight. You need to know the road that you're traveling on and what God wants you to do with your life. I'm not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist, but I really believe that God's got a plan for your life tonight. I believe God's got a will for your life tonight. I believe God wants more out of us a lot of times than what we're willing to give to Him. And I think we miss a lot of the blessings of God along the way. But He's got a will for us and got a direction for our life. You look right here in the text verse, God had a direction for David. And I tell you now, God's got a direction for you. And I hope that you're, you know, if I'm headed in the right direction and I know I'm going in the right direction, you know, Brother Marvin, I don't even look at the road sign. Why? I know where I'm at. Like I say, on the way over here tonight, I did not have to worry about whether I had to get on Highway 30 or Highway 305 or County Road 750. I didn't have to worry about that. Why? I knew the way. But me and my wife, we were up in Knoxville the other day, and we were going out through there, and I've told you a little bit of this story. But how many of you have ever come up in a highway or in a road, and you come up to an intersection, and I don't know who in their right mind does something like this. They come up, and they've got a highway that goes on this way, and a highway that turns this way, and the highway that you're on, that number turns right, and another one picks up and starts going straight. Y'all understand what I'm saying right there? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, who in their right mind would have that highway turn right there and have another one go straight right there from it? You know what? You got to be paying attention to that road sign if you didn't know that thing turned right back there. You understand what I'm saying? If the direction said, stay on Highway 25W, and that thing splits up there here in a little bit, and you don't know which one's Highway 25W, you fixing to be in a mess, friend. You don't know whether you need to go left to Jefferson City. If you've ever been on 25W, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we're not paying attention. If David had not paid attention to the Lord right here, he'd have got himself in trouble. Why? Because he inquired of the Lord and he said, Lord, is Saul going to come down here to Keilah? And the Lord said, yeah. He's going to come down there, David. And he said, Lord, is the men of Keilah going to deliver me up to them? Yeah, David, he's going to do that. What happens if David hadn't done that? Am I making sense tonight? Am I helping you? I hope so. Look, he inquired of the Lord and he wanted to know what he needed to do. As long as we're going the way that we know to go, that's fine. But when we're somewhere new or God's wanting us to go some other way, we better start paying attention. When we're knowing what we know to do and we know that's what God wants us to do, then it's okay, friend, I really believe, not to ignore the road signs, but to know that we're on the path that we belong on. It's okay to have assurance that you're doing what God wants you to do. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, that's a good thing to have, is assurance that you're doing what God wants you to do. And you know what? When I'm doing that, I don't need a road sign. I know that I'm on the right road, I'm on the right path, I'm going the right way that I need to go, and I'm doing the things that I need to do. But you know what, brother? Every now and again, I've been on some places that I have wondered about some things and I was curious about some things. I own some roads that I know, and I'm wondering, am I still on the right road? Have you ever been away from home and wondered and said to yourself, reckon I'm on the right road? Because this ain't looking right. I remember one of the very first vacations that me and Kelly ever took. And you got to realize, we got married when we was 19 years old. I didn't know nothing at 19. I thought I knew everything, but I didn't know nothing. And so somewhere around when we was 20, we decided we'd go over around Charlotte, North Carolina, Kannapolis and Landis and all that over there. And we took off with a map that we had printed off the internet. That's a long time ago to do stuff like that. I don't even think we had an atlas in the car. I don't go nowhere without an atlas. I bet if you go out there right now, there's an atlas in the car right now. Well, I like to have a map, man. I like to know where I'm at and where I'm going. And I remember when we come into this little old town over here, it wasn't exactly like that map said it was going to be. We got a little nervous. Why? Because we didn't know where we were at. And we didn't know what to do. I'm going to tell you, in our Christian life, when you don't know where you're at and you don't know what to do, right there it is. You pick it up and begin to read it and begin to let the Holy Spirit in that speak to your heart. I believe it takes both tonight. I believe it takes the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in your heart with this book right here to do something for you, to let you know that you're where you belong and need to be tonight. I believe David was exactly where he needed to be, because God said, go down there and deliver them from the Philistines. David was exactly where he needed to be. Psalms chapter 27, David said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Don't you like the path to be plain? Don't you like to know what you're doing is right and following God? You say, well, all God wants me to do is live for Him, and all He wants me to do is just serve Him and work my job and raise my family. And you know what? That may be exactly what God wants you to do. I've determined a long time ago, God don't call every man to preach. He don't call every woman in that to marry a preacher. Some people, He just wants to work and raise their family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and serve Him for the rest of their life. That's what He wants. But that don't mean that He might wants you to do something special one day. Maybe, well, I can tell you right now, he wants you to talk to your neighbor about him. He wants you to talk to your co-workers about him. But you know, there's every now and again that God is going to want you to do something special, and you're going to need to see that road sign that says, hey, you need to stop right here for just a minute and pay attention to what's happening. There are some things that he expects us to know. Do you know that I didn't have to call anybody and ask them how to get here tonight? Amen? I know how to get here. I know how to get around a lot here in the city of Athens and Sweetwater and Etowah and Englewood and all those places. I know how to get around. Do you know that there's some things that God don't have to put up a road sign for us, because when he saved us and we've studied and we've learned, he's taught us from his word, then he expects us to know what to do. You know, there come a time that my daddy just quit telling me to do some things, and I just done them because I know that's what he wanted. Do you know there's times there's some things you don't have to pray about? Amen? There are just some things you don't have to pray about. We doing okay tonight? Okay. All right, just making sure. You know, he said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. When you don't know which way to go, it's in this book and he will guide us. But you know what? After you learn the way, then go the way. There are some signs that he puts up that is informative. They tell us the highway we're on, whether we're going north or south. It tells us sometimes about what's going on in front of us. And sometimes those are not only informative, but they're also instructive, because there are some instructions that come along with those road signs. We look at directive road signs tonight that give us direction. Is you know, a lot of times you come to the end of a road and you know what you'll find? You find a stop sign, don't you? Sometimes God's got a stop sign put up where we're at, and he wants us to stop where we are. If you're headed in the wrong direction, you need to stop, don't you? You know what David said in Psalms chapter 38 when he was talking about his sin? He said, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Halt is a military term. I mean stop. I mean stop marching. Stop going. Stop moving. Hey, there's a lot of people that are in their sin. I'm talking about saints tonight, believers, and God's telling them to stop, and they won't stop. Be a little bit lighthearted tonight. How many of us has ever seen the Bugs Bunny cartoon with Yosemite Sam and him on that camel? And he's trying to get that camel to stop. Whoa, camel, whoa. Whoa, camel, whoa. And what does he do? He runs out in front of it and he beats his head in with that big old thing that he has in his hand. You know what happens if you don't stop at a stop sign? You might get by with it every now and again. You might get by with it sometimes. And sometimes you might get by with it a lot. But I'll guarantee you what's going to happen eventually. You're either going to get caught by the police or something worse, you're going to end up in a wreck. David said, I'm ready to stop for my sin. I want to stop what I'm doing. If God says stop, you better stop. Put the brakes on. Bring it to a screeching halt, you know. When I say whoa, mule, I mean whoa, you know. What do you think happened to Saul of Tarsus when he was out there in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus over there and God got his attention? You know what he done? He stopped in his tracks. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost tonight and God's knocking on your heart, you need to stop the direction you're going and pay attention to what God's saying to you and act by the work of the Holy Spirit and trust him to save you. Because you're on the road to hell and need to get saved. He puts a stop sign out there in front of us. You come down here to this red light down here, and if that thing's red, you better stop. That's what it means. We know what it means. It means stop. If you pull up there and that thing turns green, that means go. You know, sometimes God's got a green light, don't he?
And that means go. Whatever he's told you to do, go do it. Go be faithful in it. Just go enjoy what God has called you to do and where God has put you and just serve him. But go. A lot of people, they want to stop. Let me ask you this. And I'll be honest tonight. How many of us has ever pulled up to a green light and stopped? Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. It's easy to do that if you ain't paying attention. And two, you'll get run over. Because somebody else will see that it's green, they'll run over you, friend. But I've done that on more than one occasion. Pulled up to a green light, seen it coming. Kelly's been in the car with me at times. And I'll be slowing down for a green light. And she'll say, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm coming to a red light." When that thing's green, we need to go, don't we? How many people say it when God says go and they're on stop? Instead of go. Whatever God wants out of your life, you just need to go. If it's green, go. If it's yellow, speed up. Don't y'all take that now. Just having fun tonight. You find a red light down here. It's got red on top, means stop, and green means go. I'll deal with that yellow light here in a minute. But we come to signs, and this is the one that caught my attention yesterday. You know, they put up signs that say the wrong way, don't they? Let you know that you're on the wrong side of the road going the wrong way. You know, if you see a wrong way sign, you better find another path to travel on. If God tells you that you're traveling the wrong way, whether it is in something that you're doing for Him or whether it is in sin, and He said, hey, listen, you're headed in the wrong direction, you need to turn around. You better turn around. The Bible said in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of people that are lost, headed in the wrong direction, think that they're going the right way. And they're going to die lost in their sin and meet a just and an almighty God lost in their sin. But there's believers tonight that are headed the wrong way. He's already said stop, and they went when he said stop. And so he's now putting up a wrong way sign and said, you need to turn around. There's a yield sign, ain't there? That word yield means to allow or to give or to permit. But it also means to surrender. When we yield our own self and that to the Lord, when I say, Lord, here I am, just as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, when the Lord said, whom shall I send and who shall go for me? Who shall go for us? I believe that it was Isaiah that was waving and said, here am I, send me. He was yielding himself and that to the service and the work of the Lord. You know, when you stop and you realize that you're going the wrong way and you want to turn and go the right way, then you yield. You yield. We give ourselves. You know, the Bible says in James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Romans 6 talks about yielding our members and that to the Lord. We give to Him. Those are not only informative signs, but they're also directive or instructive signs. It's telling us to do something. Do you realize that those signs are there to instruct us, but they're also there to protect us? I mean, you pull up to a four-way stop, you really want a stop sign to be there, and I really want to see it say a four-way or all-way. That way I know everybody's got a stop sign. Everybody's got to stop, or they're supposed to. I want to know what's going on. I want to know. I mean, I pulled up to some places, and it's like crossing railroad tracks down here in front of McKee Tower, where McKee Tower used to be. When you turn right and cross that railroad track, there's no stop sign for you to stop because you're crossing the railroad track. But that road in front of you's got a stop sign over there. Now, a lot of people that don't know that, they're going to think when they come up out of that intersection, they got to stop. And if they stop, they're going to be on the railroad track. That's why you pay attention to the road signs around you. It keeps you safe. It's to protect you. You run a stop sign, you're liable to get run over. You run through the yield sign, when you are to yield, you're going to get run over. Hey, you go down the wrong way. I tell you, one of the worriest, and I won't say afraid, but and amazed that I've ever been, is I was going down I-75 one day. I going down around Riceville, and there's a car blow by me in the other lane going the wrong way. I could see her coming. 911, what's your emergency? I just passed a woman on the interstate going the wrong direction. We'll take care of it. That's the end of it. You're talking about needing to read the wrong way sign. She was in trouble, wasn't she? Sometimes we see a caution sign. Kind of like that yellow light down there. You know what's what that yellow light means is caution? If it's flashing, especially, it means caution. And a lot of times, there is some other information that comes with that yellow light or with that caution sign. You know, sometimes, I won't say this, when you see the caution sign, that means God is warning you about some things. And if you ignore the caution, I remember, and I've told y'all this story, but for the sake of folk that don't remember it, I've learned when you get my age, some stories you don't remember or have not heard it. I worked with a fellow one time that worked on a road crew, and he said we had some boys on down that were working. I forget what they were doing. I believe they were getting the rest of the road ready, and he said, but we had a sinkhole up here. And he said, we had to dig that sinkhole out. And he said, they sent me up there, and that is a flagman, because they knew that these boys were getting off work and they were going to be coming back down this half-built highway. And he said, I went up there to flag them down to tell them there was a sinkhole up there in the road. He said, because when they got off every day, they come out of there wide open as hard as they could go. And I went up there, and he said, I was waving that flag trying to get them to stop. And he said, they blowed by me as fast as they could go, laughing at me. And he said, it wasn't just a little bit, they were in that sinkhole. They blowed past the caution sign, didn't they? You know what happens when you blow past the caution sign? You end up in a sinkhole. God sets some road signs in front of us to catch our attention. Sometimes it's a preacher preaching. Sometimes it's just simply the Word of God we read. Sometimes it's somebody that God put in our way to instruct us. But nonetheless, He's given us a road sign. And He's trying at His hardest to get our attention. Whether it is stop, whether it is go, whether it is yield, whether it's wrong way, whether it's a caution sign, He's trying to get our attention. He gave David caution about the men of Keilah and said, David, King Saul's coming down here. And David said, well, will the men of Keilah turn me over to them? And God said, yeah. Now, I've said this before while I'm preaching, but if David was a Calvinist, he would have just sat down to eat and drink and been merry, and Saul would have caught him. Because there wasn't no way he could change that. God said, that's what's going to happen, David, if you stay here. I don't think that was the will of God for David's life, but God said that's what's going to happen. And so David got up and left. You know what? I'm determined to take some people in a place where it is not the will of God for their life. And He is trying to get them out of it and get them where they belong at. We find them road signs in the Word of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's simply that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us, hey, you're headed the wrong way. Or, yeah, this is what you need to do. Go as fast. Well, let me be careful here. Go as fast as you can and do it. Obey the speed limit. God gives us direction tonight in our life, but do we pay attention to it? Do we get so used to going the way that we're going that we never look up? I've got a friend of mine. He told me the other day, a couple years ago, they changed. He's lived there for 30 years. And after 30 years, they changed the name of his street. That don't make a lick of sense to me. It's been that way for 30 years. Why turn and leave it that way? I believe it was something like Northwest Street. Maybe that's why they wanted to change it. I don't know. But it's like Northwest Street. Let me ask you tonight. Have we got so used to the way? And listen, I'm not trying to talk you out of serving God. And I'm not trying to talk you into doing anything different than what God wants you to do. I'm just wanting you to make sure that you're on the right path for your life tonight. Is God throwing up road signs saying, go, go, go? Or is he saying, stop, stop, stop? Or, hey, now wait a minute, pay attention to what's going on. Look what's going to happen right down the road right here if you don't do something about it. That caution sign. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord throws up road signs along our life and gives us just a little bit of direction in our life to know what to do? I'm glad of that tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight. I'm not going to have no music tonight. I'm not going to have no singing. But if God has spoke to your heart tonight, I want you to come and pray.